Hey there, folks. Chris McLean, Peak Performance and Transformation Coach here, and back again with another episode of the Peak Performance and Predictable Growth Show, the peak performance show for creative agency founders, owners, and leaders, where we explore the agency journey from the unique perspective of those at the coalface of the industry. And my guests help unlock and dissect the strategies, tools, and tactics that are working right now to help you deliver better results for your clients, as well as grow and scale your business to six and seven figures and beyond. And it is my absolute pleasure to welcome Jason Swenk into the studio today. Jason's an agency coach. He helps digital agencies scale and grow faster by setting up the right strategies and systems. He's also the host of the Smart Agency Masterclass podcast and Swenk Weekly, where he shares real agency stories and strategies that are working today. Jason, thank you so much for joining me here and dropping into the show. Pleasure to have you here.
Oh, yeah, man. Thanks for having me on.
As I said, my pleasure. Now, you've been in this coaching game for a while now. The podcast has been up, what, 5, 6, 7 years or so?
Yeah, 7 years. I can't believe it. You're dating me.
That's awesome, man. So good to see you've been helping people for that long. What were you an ex-agency owner? Did you have your own agency? Sort of what brought you? So to go back to the start, and what brought you into the coaching world way back when?
Well, I think everything I do is kind of by accident. You know, back in early 1999, one of my friends looked like Justin Timberlake from NSYNC, if you remember that, right? I think you're around my age. You got a little gray hair on you. Got the coolest mustache, by the way. I got to tell you. And Jeez. So I created this fake band, fake website called InShit, making fun of NSYNC. And then people started asking me to design websites for them. And it literally just started from, you know, a realtor and then like a barber and then like a marina and then all these other businesses. And then it actually, then after a couple of years, we started getting serious and started working with like Lotus Cars and, you know, LegalZoom and Hitachi and all these big major brands doing, you know, all their creative work and a lot of their dev work as well. And then I was lucky enough to sell it. And which was a crazy road. And then maybe 2 years went by. And then a lot of agency owners reached out and were like, hey, how'd you do this? How'd you do that? And that's all I ever knew. And I started helping them out. So that's kind of how I kind of fell into all this craziness.
Yeah. I mean, that's the perfect storm, really, and the perfect way to help people is, hey, I've done this, right? I've been through this journey, and it can be kind of weird and wild and woolly in the agency space in particular. Yeah. So where do you pick agencies up from? Sort of what's the, when someone comes to you, where are they at? What are they struggling with? Where are you best served to sort of help them get to that next stage gate or next milestone in their business?
Yeah, it's, well, at the end of the day, I can't help out everyone, right? It's like, it's the agency owners that feel like they want to grow faster or they've hit that ceiling. And they're really needing kind of help in maybe one or three areas, right? Like I look at it as like in a model of going, all right, I want to scale an agency in order to create freedom, predictability, and profit or money, or even have the opportunity to sell it one day, right? That's our whole goal is to ascend people up the mountain. I'm a big mountain person, right? I'm in Colorado, so I love the mountain. And so a lot of times what I'll do is I'll look and go, well, tell me a little bit about how are you attracting your audience? And then a lot of times creative agencies or digital agencies, they're like, oh, well, it's all word of mouth and referrals. I'm like, well, that's not scalable. And that's probably why you've hit a cap because you know, you keep getting the same work or lesser, and it depends on other people. You don't have a lead generation system. You haven't built authority. You're not positioned in the right way. So that's one area. Other areas is maybe around the convert. Maybe they're not converting fast enough in order to win the clients, or maybe they don't have the right pricing in order for profit, because too many people focus on, well, how big are you? My agency's 10 million. I'm like, I don't care how big your agency is. How profitable is it? Right? Because I also own another agency right now called Republics. And in the past year, we've just been gobbling up and buying agencies. And so when we go in and buy an agency, we're like, well, how profitable are you? I don't care how big you are. So we'll look at the convert. And then the last part is, you know, really kind of the streamline. How are you streamlining operations? Can your agency run without you, right? Do you have A players? What's your retention? What's your, how are you upselling your clients, right? How is all that operation working to help out with profit leaks? So we kind of really look at those three areas and really kind of try to ascend those agencies quicker than, because look, everybody has the opportunity to do it themselves, right? That we all have the power to do it. But a lot of times, I mean, that's why I even have a coach. I'm like, I can't see my own stuff. And yeah, that's what everybody needs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. It's a great analogy, and can't see the forest for the trees. That can be a tendency in any business. But yeah, a lot of agency owners can tend to be blind to that. I don't know if it's the creative background or what it is, but it's the that ability to sort of step into actually, I need to ask for help and I'm okay getting the right people in to help me. As you said, climb the mountain faster. Through those sort of stage gates and those milestones, where do you see people tripping themselves up the most as they're sort of getting, you're helping them, you're supporting them, you're giving them the strategies, the tools, the tactics? Are they just not getting the work done? Are they not finding the time? Is it a mental barrier? Where do they trip themselves up a lot as you start to sort of help them through?
I mean, most of the time it's the thing between their ears that's screwing them up, right? And they're not, they don't understand how to prioritize what's the right thing. And I feel that a lot of times people are like, well, I'm just too busy right now. I'm too busy. Yeah. And that's the telltale sign that if you're too busy, you're not charging enough. And if you're not charging enough, that means you can't bring on the right people in order to help you scale. If you can't help you scale, then you're going to be doing everything. And it's a constant battle. And then you'll be like, well, let me focus. I got all this work. I need to focus on delivery. And then you finish that. And then you're like, oh shit, I got to sell a lot of work. And then you focus on that. And then your delivery goes. And it's a constant roller coaster up and down. And I think people are always looking at the chasing the red op, or, you know, the red dot, you know, with the cats. You know, I have two cats and a dog. Yeah. Hopefully they all behave tonight. and we're always chasing, you know, what's the new red shiny object. Versus really looking and going back to the basics or back to the foundation, right? So I remember we were probably a couple million at the time at our agency. And I remember getting to a point where I was looking at my bank account to do budgeting, which that's a mistake. And I was like, oh crap, man, I'm not going to be able to make payroll coming up. And I was just stressed out, right? Like that weight of not being able to pay like 20 people, and it was weighing on me. And I just got to a point where my wife's like, well, just quit, like just shut it down, go work for someone. And I literally was very close to doing this. I actually took an interview with a company called NASCAR in the States, and they asked me two questions. They go, what do you want to do every day? What do you love doing? And what don't you never want to do again? And I thought about that. I'm like, oh my God, I could do that in my agency and I don't have to report to it. Like I'm the worst employee. I've been fired from every single job I've ever had. Right. I think I've made them fire me because like, I don't quit. I think that's my rationale behind it. But I went like, and so a lot of times I tell agency owners, start with this, get a sheet of paper, like an 8x11, put your fist on it, draw a circle around your fist. And then on the outside of the circle, write down all the stuff that you hate doing and you don't ever want to do again, and spend a good time doing that. And so then through a process of elimination, you've written down a ton of stuff. And then on inside the circle, go, what are the things that are my superpower that I need to do? Meaning work on the things that you're really good at and outsource the shit out of the ones that you suck at and get people to support you. And so when I did that, I go, okay, now I'm seeing something. So I started getting more clarity, but then I needed to take that a step further and going, well, who do I want to serve? What is that? You know, everybody talks about what's the perfect ideal customer profile, right? Or whatever they call it. Where do I want to go? Like where's the ship actually going? So if I was on a ship from New York to Sydney, which would be a long ship, right? That would be a long ride. and I couldn't stay up the whole time, right? But if I didn't tell my crew we were going to Sydney And I said, wake me up anytime the boat changes course. He'd be like, waking me up every 5 minutes. Well, if I just told them where the boat was going, now they can make more decisions. So I get that clarity. So that's kind of like system one. And then you really have to go through and position your agency in the right way and then have the right offering. Those three systems are the foundation before you do anything else in your agency, from prospecting. Everybody jumps in, oh, I need to do a LinkedIn advertising, or I need to do LinkedIn outreach. Like, no. But if you don't have the right messaging, the right offering, and you know who you're going after, you're going to screw it all up.
Yeah. That's so critical, coming back to that fundamental why, right? Why are you doing this? What do you actually want out of this? And then kind of stacking that, number one, stacking motivation. Sort of talk a bit about this motivation stack. So you wake up every morning and you're at least somewhat motivated to get to work. So that's lining up your curiosity, passion, purpose, having that big why, that North Star, that Sydney, right? This is where we're going. That's something I'm going to wake up and go, yes, I'm still curious and passionate and I'm developing mastery around my craft that's taking me towards this thing. That's going to get me through most days. On the back end of that, I probably need some grit and some goals. And so when I don't feel like getting up, I'm still going to have to just get a bit gritty, get diligent, do it anyway, push through. And that's where really clear goals can sort of come in. Like, what am I actually doing today to get this week on track, to get this month on track, to get this quarter on track, to get my big 5-year goal on track? So kind of having that whole system baked in. That's sort of a lot of what you talking about, is having these strategies, these systems, which kind of on the front of them don't sound super sexy. Goals, habits, strategy, right? Doesn't necessarily sound super sexy, but when you stack that stuff every single day and you do it every single day, suddenly your life starts to unravel in the way that you want it to. Your business grows, you get that scale, you get to $1 million, you get the dream clients. So it's kind of this emergent property of doing that stuff that you're talking about there. Is that sort of how you see clients sort of? They get that win, they get that recognition of, okay, I'm doing that stuff now, and I'm sort of stacking those daily wins and progressing forward. It's that day-by-day fight. Yeah.
Well, everything's momentum. It's like you got to get a little bit momentum in order to make it up the mountain, right? Like to ascend. And what I tell people too is as you're pushing – because you're literally pushing everything up the mountain, sometimes you'll actually reach a roadblock where you can't go any further. And sometimes you have to backtrack and figure out another path. And you just got to realize that, of going, all right, well, this is a big challenge. Like, maybe, I see agencies all the time go out of business or get really hurt where they implement something that brings in a ton of leads, but then they can't fulfill them. And they almost go under. They're too good at sales and marketing. And so a lot of times I look at that type of scenario and go, well, let's backtrack a little bit. Let's pull back a little bit. I always hate throttling. Like I used to race cars until I suspended it for my wife so she wouldn't worry anymore. So like I never would let off the throttle. Like I'm like literally going down. Not as fast as your guys' Aussie's cars down there in the V8 challenge. Oh my God, that looks so much fun. I'd love to.
Oh, that's cars next level. That's pretty toe to toe, and that looks pretty brutal.
Yeah. You just got to keep pushing. Yeah. Like we were talking, like you mentioned, the foundation sucks, building it. But, if you build the right foundation, you can stand on it for a long, long time before it crumbles. Cause everything will crumble and go back. But, you just got to see how long it will actually last.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. It's the classic mountain or building a house, right? If the foundation sucks, it's not going to last very long. So you got to get that foundation. You got to lay it brick by brick by brick and be intentional about which bricks you're laying so you can actually build that longevity. Yep. On that kind of chaos and unpredictability, through last year, with everything the world went through and everything sort of the industry went through, how did you see that showing up for your clients particularly, and how have agencies You know, a lot of agencies seem to have survived really well and almost thrived in that time. How did you see that from your perspective?
Yeah, I remember, because as we're recording this, it was about a year ago the day, when stuff went down. And I remember going, there's going to be a lot of suffering, but there's going to be a lot of opportunity. And I remember telling people, I'm going, look, if all these things are shutting down, people are not going to be able to reach people the normal channels. And if you're able to be resourceful and creative and use our, the digital agency, you know, strategies, they're going to be like clawing at the door in order to work with you. So the only agencies that I saw struggle were the ones that were going after hospitality and like restaurants and hotels in the very beginning. They took a big suffer. And I said, hey, you might need to pivot a little bit and kind of add on a different practice area. Don't give up on that. Like help them, because as we make it through, they're going to remember the people that ditched them and then the people that, sat by. And but for 95% of the agencies that I've seen, they like almost doubled their business. I'm talking about not like doubling from 500K to a million. I'm talking about agencies from 3 million to 6 million or 7 million or close to the 8-figure mark.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Impressive stuff. And there's always cycles, right? I mean, 2008 was a pretty crappy year for a lot of people as well, but it's that ability to come back. Speaking to a lot of agencies and agency owners, there's been some really inventive business models that are sort of coming out of this. A lot of people have heard people switching to subscription models. And so like you're saying with their clients where big retainers and that kind of model kind of disappeared in like a retail shopping brick and mortar type situation, they've been able to innovate the business model and come up with subscription models and stuff like this. Have you seen that kind of stuff sort of being innovated upon and business models, or is it more you're sticking to the bigger incumbent traditional style of model?
Yeah, I haven't really seen the subscriptions too much. I mean, I've seen people look at their pricing and going, how can we raise it? And I've also, the other thing that was good that happened to a lot of agencies where they're able to see a lot of the leaks in their boat, meaning they started getting a lot of business. And like when you're in the boat, like picture yourself in the boat again, and you have a steady flow of water in there, you don't know if there's any leaks. But if you look, get out of the boat and then you can start seeing it start cresting down. And so when they started taking all this work, they were like, oh, wow, I got some gaps here. I got some holes here that I need to fix. So then they were able to really kind of focus on that and going, wow, we got all this business. Let's focus on here. And then they were able to, move along and kind of steady off. And then they're ready for rapid growth again.
Yeah, right. Yeah, nothing like a bit of pressure to drive innovation.
Exactly.
Yeah, it always happens. So where are you seeing, from things are somewhat settling or somewhat settled here, that maybe a little bit more than sort of where you're at in the States, but things seem to be sort of leveling out in terms of the chaos from last year. It's probably not gone, but how are you seeing, what's the future look like? Where are people, obviously people have had big years and doubled their businesses last year. They're looking to do the same this year. What's the sort of feeling on the street amongst the people that you're working with?
I mean, they're really optimistic. They want to keep the momentum. I think that's what everybody, when they go through like a record-breaking year, as soon as that year ends, I think they're like, oh, we need to do it again. And a lot of times they lose that why. That's a lot of times like people like us, we have to remind them, well, this is why you do that. Or they get a little cold feet. I'm even guilty. I literally said it the other day. I go, wow, we've created an amazing business where we help out all these amazing agency owners. And I go, maybe like I'm comfortable. Like I have more freedom than I've ever had, it's just a amazing lifestyle. And I went to, my coach and I was like, well, am I too comfortable? And he goes, what if you could actually make it way better and deliver better results? That's the question you should be asking. Like, how do I do that? And so I was like, man, that's a really good way that you frame that. And that's what I tell, you know, our members and our clients. But it's amazing, like, how you can't see it, see it yourself.
Yeah. 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 It's the paint, the classic painter that whose house looks like shit, right? No, the interior decorator with it, whose house doesn't look real good. Take us through that. Obviously, you coach agencies, you have coaching yourself. Take us through what are the benefits of coaching, and why should people be reaching out and looking for coaches? And often it is just that, it's that one drop where it's that one aha moment a month where you go, oh, shit, I just didn't think about it that way. I was too in my head. I was too over here. What are the real benefits that and the ways that you're helping your clients?
Well, it's, you're able to see things that they're not able to see very clear, because we're not emotional. Like, everyone, I think we don't see it in our own business because we're all emotional. Like, we're making decisions based on emotion. But, you know, from the outside, we can look at it and be like, there's no emotion there. Like, if someone was like, I've had someone on my team for 10 years, but they're not performing and they stink and I need to hold on to them, because they're 10 years, like, that's how the owner thinks. Well, they're thinking as an owner, they're not thinking as a CEO. And then from the outside, you can be like, dude, you need to tell them the expectation that you expect from them, because when you reach different levels, you have to pull different levers and you're going to outgrow a lot of people. Like, there's a, I'm not very religious, but there's something in the Bible. It's like, what got you to this stage won't get you to the promised land. Like, you have to do things different. And what we do is a little bit different is, you know, when we're coaching, we put them in a community as well as provide them the tools with coaching. So if you kind of look at it as like a pyramid, you know, I feel that like all three of those things have to be together, because I feel that if you're just coaching someone one-on-one, you're going to get them the expertise, you know, for, you know, what you have right then. But if you can put them in a community, they're going to excel, because then they can breathe off everyone else. Because a lot of times when you work with a client, if you're working with the wrong person, you may not know what the real problem is. But if you can look at all these other people around you that are similar to you and they mention a problem, you'd be like, oh, I have that problem. Oh, that's the root of the problem. And that's where I see a lot of, you know, transformation or the aha moments.
I found that myself in group coaching programs, that you do get that. You see somebody else's challenge, you go, oh, they've either just worded it in a better way, or they've been, even just sometimes they're willing to step in and ask the stupid question and look like a dummy for 5 minutes, but then get the information they need to actually move forward. And then everybody in the group, you know, sort of leverages off that mastermind energy and everybody benefits from it. So I definitely see the benefit in that approach. Yeah, cool stuff. So you run several different types of programs. So you have mastermind. What other sort of ways are you helping agencies? Are you helping them at different stages, or is it more based on the strategies and skill sets that they need at certain times?
Yeah, so the people that are starting out, really, I always tell them, listen to the content, listen to the podcast. We have over 2,000 pieces of free content out there. And start there. And then if they like that, I always tell them, well, hey, check out the agency playbook. This is our agency framework that we used in order to grow and scale our agency. And it's really broken out into 8 systems and with like micro videos. Like, I'm ADD, so I don't want to watch something very long. Yeah. I just literally was like, hey, just tell me what to go do at this one area and then let me build upon that. And so we have for the do-it-yourselfers, or like if you think of like the different stages, let's use the racing methodology. Like, yeah, let's picture a pyramid. And if you're at the building phase, right, you know, the agency playbook's perfect because it will show you exactly how to get clarity, kind of that foundation I told you, as well as all the other strategies. And then the only way to get to the next phase from building to driving that car is through systems, right? Having direction. So then now I know where to go. So then once you're at the driving phase, you're just driving the car. Well, you want to take that car to the track. You want to race that car. The only way to get to that level is through delegation, right? Mm-hmm. And then the only way to get to winning and having a winning team where you have the pit crew, the engine, the race car, the driver, all that, you have to have alignment of all those. And so in the building phase, and even in a little bit of the system phase, the playbook's perfect. But then I also find those people that go, well, I don't do well just doing it by myself. I need to do it in the community. And that's really where, you know, our digital agency Elite Mastermind that we started many years ago comes into play, where we orchestrate and put people in pods that are related to them, not related to them, but like closely associated with they're at.
Similar type of agency.
Not similar type. I like to kind of mix it up. So, you know, they can kind of, you know, pass business back and forth and really not feel that they have to hold back. I really just want people to kind of, you know, just feel totally, you know, like they got their pants down and no one's going to be judging. And that's kind of the mentality. And so we do that. And then that's the mastermind. And then I'm starting to really get away from just working with people one-on-one, just because it's just, I can't, our whole goal is to be the resource I wish I had so people can scale faster and create that predictability and the freedom and the money that they want. And so I can really kind of catapult that through the mastermind. And then we do what we call the digital agency experience at my house in Colorado, where we have 3 days where everybody comes and we have a lot of fun hiking the mountain, riding some razors and ATVs through the old mining towns and the wild west.
Wow.
It's a lot of fun.
That does sound fun. It sounds amazing. And take us through, obviously you've got the podcasts as well. You've got a couple of podcasts going that have been staples for quite a while. Take us through the shows. You've got the two shows. Take us through, who do you bring on? What are you talking about? Why should people tune in?
Yeah. So the Smart Agency Masterclass is about highlighting other agency owners that have done something amazing. And then they break down kind of how they've done it and talk about the stories, you know, in their own words, so people can kind of feel a sense of community, a sense of a little, hey, I'm not the only one that's going through this. So they can listen to that. We've been doing that for 7 years and we put out 2 episodes a week. And then we have the Swank Today Show, which is like a weekly video. But we need to kind of restart a little bit, since we've been with the pandemic, we've been busy doing other stuff, but it's just a couple minutes of my, insights for what's actually going on currently. So it's nice. Kind of in my own point of view. And so they're all a lot of fun. I enjoy the interview, the Smart Agency Masterclass the best, because it's highlighting other people. Like, I don't want to highlight myself.
It's fun to wrap off other people, and it's a lot of what I've obviously about five or 6 years behind you, but that's essentially why I started this podcast as well, was just to talk to agency owners, see what's going on, uncover some of those stories. And those are the fun episodes where you get to just hear where people are at, what they've gone through, kind of tease out what's working for them, and get those insights into what worked, you know, how they got where they did, what was that thing that got sort of catalyzed and got them started. And it's interesting teasing out those stories, and obviously talking to people like yourself who've also had that experience across, you know, a lot of different types of businesses and different types of people, and really understanding how people tick and how to get different people to operate better inside their businesses. Very cool stuff. So if people do want to get in touch with you, what's the best place for them to reach out? There's a couple links up on the screen, but where's the best place for them to come and connect with yourself for the shows?
Yep, just jasonswank.com or hit me up on Instagram. It's just Instagram / jswank, and just private message me there if you need anything. And if you do chat with the bot or me, it is always me looking at it and responding. I always love to freak people out. Like, I was chatting with someone a little while ago, and they thought it was a bot, and then I just recorded my voice, and they were like, oh, how'd you do that? How'd you automate that? I'm like, it's not automated.
it's the weird world we live in now. People sort of expect a bot to be a robot, right, rather than a real person. So if you can drop that actual personality, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you got to always do that. Like I've watched too many people that I respected in the industry, not in the agency space, but just, you know, kind of in the info space and that kind of stuff. I met them at conferences, mm-hmm. and then you're just so let down. And I'm like, why are you trying to just go off in the corner and be so, you know, like, I think they just think they can charge more. I'm like, no, just have an open book. Like, if someone needs advice to you, like, they should be able to reach out to you.
Mm. Yeah, it's a weird thing, isn't it? When people sort of, you create that distance, right? And you pay more money to get closer to me as this expert, this amazing person over here. But I like what you're saying. The complete opposite also works and almost works better. Hey, you want to talk to me? I'm going to answer the phone. I'm going to answer that chat. You can speak to the real person.
And you'll figure this out as you do the podcast over the years. Like, I always love hearing when people engage in the mastermind or jump in the playbook. A lot of times they'll say, I've been listening to you for 3 or 4 years. I'm like, yeah, nice. I'm like, what took you so long? but I think that's really pretty cool that we held their attention. And then they've trusted enough, or that's how long it took to build their trust. Yeah, and I just think that's pretty cool.
Mm. Yeah. I think that's a great tip just in terms of like a marketing practice, right? People are going to come to you in their own time. So it's important to have that kind of pretty broad ecosystem of people can sit and listen to a show for 3 years. They can get your email for a couple of years. They can get your free training. They can get a bit of this. They can get whatever they need to know, like, and trust you enough to come and do business with you. Yep. And it's really good advice to close out on. Jason, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for swinging by and adding some value to the show and letting people know about what you do and how you can help.
Definitely. And
if you do want to get in touch, you can jump on to jasonswink.com, check Jason out. Definitely go check out the podcast, get some value there. And I appreciate you tuning in. Thanks for dropping in from wherever you're tuning in around the podcast world, on YouTube, wherever you are on the internet. Thanks for swinging by. I've had fun on this one. We'll see you on the next one. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. And cheers, Jason. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.